after an Iranian-backed Shia militia fires a missile or rocket into the green zone surrounding just a mile away from the U.S. embassy in Iraq, President Trump issues a warning to Iran. If Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
New details about a rocket fire near the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad inside the heavily fortified Green Zone. An Iraqi military spokesman saying it appears to have been fired from East Baghdad, which is home to several Iranian-backed Shiite militias.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The rocket was fired just days after the State Department ordered a partial evacuation of the embassy and consulate in Erbil of non-essential staff. Experts say the evacuation gave Iran what it wanted, the pullout of some Americans from Iraq. More than 5,000 U.S. troops will remain.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Well, we now know what some of that credible threat to U.S. interests in Iraq that caused the non-essential staff from our embassy, which is in a very fortified green zone. And let me clarify for you, Shia rebels yesterday fired a rocket into the green zone. So it wasn't like it landed outside the green zone, fired it inside the fortified green zone, which could have caused the loss of life depending on who was where and where it hit. And it landed just a mile. That's how big this green zone is. I mean, this perimeter, when it landed in the green zone, it was still a mile away from our U.S. embassy. But people were wondering, why did the U.S. order non-essential staff out of the U.S. embassy in Iraq when it is so fortified? Here's just one example. So we know this rocket was fired from a Shia area in Iraq, in Baghdad, where there are rebel groups backed by Iran. So these are these proxies that begin, again, as the world has warned. You know, one of these rockets falls in the wrong places or on the wrong, near the wrong person, and someone ends up losing their life or there's more casualties. This is how quickly these conflicts can escalate. And obviously, Iran is continuing to okay provocation. It's like testing the U.S. How far can we go before the U.S. responds? Very dangerous game by Iran, especially with the firepower we now have in the region. And a president who does not ever want to rush to war sends out a tweet after this saying, if Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran. Never threaten the United States again. Let me go right to Skip Ash. Skip Ash is a senior attorney with the ACLJ and also the head of our military law division at the ACLJ. And Skip, again, with the firepower we talked about last week on the radio show in the region, Iran seems to be playing a very dangerous game, allowing its proxies to shoot rockets into our green zone in Baghdad.
Oh, they sure are. You know, this is like a little kid going up to a sleeping dog and poking it in the eye or poking it in the nose and expecting nothing to happen. You keep poking the United States, you're going to get to the point where the United States is going to react, and we have very strong military forces in the region. We can deploy more into the region quickly. And when we look at what the Iranians have, especially in their air force, I mean, their air force is very old. It could be shot out of the sky very quickly. The biggest threat to us would be missiles coming from Iran at our forces, at our naval vessels, and so forth. But we have a lot of forces in the area, and we have allies in the area whose facilities we could use to bring in more aircraft for land bases and so forth. So if the Iranians want to play tough, they're very likely to have a bloody nose out of this. And I think if President Trump gets to the point that he's going to react with a message that cannot be missed.
And Thad, Congress is getting a classified briefing on Iran tomorrow. I mean, it just seems like things are ramping up.
Yeah, the National Security team will be on the Hill tomorrow. It'll fully brief Congress. Jordan, we can get into this more, but look, Congress helped get us in this mess. They better be prepared to stand behind the president to get us out of it.
Yeah, we'll explain that. Anybody who calls in and makes it on the air today, you're going to get the audiobook by my dad, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. This is very timely. Now we're offering the audiobook to you. So give us a call. We want your thoughts on the radio broadcast today. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Trump, if Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran. Never threaten the United States again. There's a reason why the president sent that tweet. It's because a Shia-backed, which means Iranian-backed group in Baghdad, launched a rocket. This all happened in the last 24 hours, last night, into the Green Zone in Baghdad, which houses our U.S. embassy. This rocket landed just a mile away from our embassy. It's heavily fortified, but these crude kind of weapons could get through and could have injured people, could have escalated things very quickly. And it looks like that's what Iran is attempting to do by using fairly crude methods to escalate into a conflict. And I don't know why they want a conflict with the U.S., except for the fact that these are not rational leaders. They believe in a 12er version of Shia Islam that believes you have to have this war. And you have to go head-to-head with the great Satan. We happen to be the great Satan in their scenario to usher in their 12th Imam. So logic. This is not logical kind of like provocation and warfare when it gets to the top of the Iranian leadership. And it's how much the Iranian Revolutionary Guard actually can tamp down some of that to keep their business interests flowing. And by the way, it's getting much more difficult for their business interests to continue to flow. But Thad, it's very serious, this kind of provocation. Imagine it from any other country in the world shooting at our embassy.
Yeah, I'd say a couple of things, Jordan. First of all, it makes it crystal clear that the decision to remove U.S. personnel was absolutely the correct one. I think that needs to be said right up front. Number two, I think we have to rewind and remind our listeners of the context here. If you don't want war with Iran, the last thing that you do is make a nuclear deal with them while they're the largest state sponsor of terrorism. That's why we got in this situation in the first place. To the contrary, Jordan, this administration, while it says it does not want conflict with Iran, and I genuinely believe that it does not, it stands ready to actually enforce red lines that it creates. So you don't work to appease the entity, the largest state sponsor of terrorism that is saber-rattling and is threatening you. You actually take measures to put them back in their place should they follow through on those actions. And Jordan, one last thing I would pass along. I really think it's important for us to hold the Hill accountable as well. They are going to get a classified briefing from the national security team tomorrow. But again, I want to remind our listeners, they preemptively, back when the Iranian deal was being negotiated, they preemptively approved that deal, eliminating the supermajority that would have been required to ratify a treaty and actually grease the skids for President Obama to pass the nuclear deal. Jordan, that was still a Republican Senate at this point. So that's a bipartisan mistake that was made in Congress. They better be prepared in the wake of getting this briefing tomorrow to do what is necessary to get us out of this mess, because they helped get us into it.
Yeah, it's very important for the ACLJ. We have an office in Jerusalem. We do a lot of work. I've done a lot of work in Iran, done a lot of work in that region. I remember in a meeting on behalf of Syed Abedini, I was in Qatar meeting with one of the princes there who was the head of their foreign affairs, Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And we were talking about dealing with the Iranians, and I won't go into detail about who he was. But he kind of, you know, shrugged his shoulders because, again, not logical. And this is coming from a Qatari prince. Then I was on the base of the Qatar's Revolutionary Guard, which is not at all like the Iranian one, and one of the head of the divisions there, who was also part of the royal family, said, you know, it's just you're not dealing with logical actors. Sometimes they sound like they are, and then other times something clicks. And that those words never left me when you're talking about dealing with Iran. I want to go to the phones, then get Skip Ash's thoughts on this question as well. Don called in from Virginia Online One. Don, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how you doing, Jordan?
We're good.
Hopefully my speaker phone may be messing you up. But anyway, what concerns me is diversion. You know, due to current events within the U.S. And problems that seem to be growing here, and then all of a sudden, it's almost like a grand plan. Let's suck them over here. Let's divert them over here.
You mean our military?
Just basically the U.S. itself. I'm worried that everything will be so focused over there that something will be missed over here.
Well, I think that the president has to deal with the threat. I mean, I know that he does. This is not a president who loves going to war. He's been very open about that. This is always the last option for him. But he's been willing to use force when red lines have been crossed. And Iran is getting fairly close. Take a listen. This is President Trump. I think he's pretty in line with you, Don. I mean, he's got kind of basics of where he doesn't want Iran to go. And they've got to stop threatening us. Take a listen. Bite number one.
We just don't want them to have nuclear weapons. And they can't be threatening us. I don't want to fight. But you do have situations like Iran. You can't let them have nuclear weapons. You just can't let that happen.
I mean, then you see Iran, I mean, sending out tweets like this is from, again, Iran's foreign minister. Goaded by B-team, at real Donald Trump hopes to achieve what Alexander, Genghis, and other aggressors failed to do. Iranians have stood tall for millennia while aggressors all gone. Economic terrorism and genocidal taunts won't end Iran. Never threatened Iranian. Try respect. It works. This is, again, the foreign minister of Iran, Skip. I'll let you discuss two things. But one, the foreign minister of Iran missing the point. When the president says Iran will be over, he's talking about the mullahs. He's talking about Zarif and that whole apparatus in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Not the Iranian people, not Iranian society, but that Iran, as we know it today, politically, the political religious structure will be gone, which many Iranians support. Second, I believe that that whatever's happening domestically, the president has his constitutional duty to protect us. He is as cautious as you can be. I think he takes that Reagan approach of you're ready to send multiple, you know, all the firepower necessary, but you don't do that until you absolutely have to.
I think you're exactly right. When the president makes these statements, he's aiming it at the current regime in Iran, which is not very popular amongst the Iranian people. So if he were to go after that regime and were to single them out, the guards, the Revolutionary Guards, and the mullahs themselves, if he were to single them out, I think there would be a strong support among the people. The other issue about whether we're going to be distracted, the president does have the responsibilities, as you've identified, but also we need to understand that when a country like Iran looks at a country like the United States and they see all the political turmoil, the back and forth, they don't realize that that's not necessarily a sign of weakness, right? But they view it that way because in their country, if they tolerate that type of dissent, they would consider themselves to be very weak. They do not realize that one of the strengths of the United States is that we tolerate that, that we can deal with that. We have dealt with it our entire history, and that does not stop the government of the United States from carrying out its legitimate responsibilities.
We can have great domestic divides in our country, policy divides that we're working through, even elections on the horizon, and still easily unite behind defending the country with our armed forces who have been rebuilt and are still being rebuilt by this administration to make sure we had the strongest military in the world with the best technology in the world, if it does ever become necessary to utilize the full strength of the U.S. military. As you heard from President Trump, that is not his goal. But Than, I do think Congress is being prepared for kind of probably what is a behind-the-scenes red line, where the U.S. is, where the Trump administration is drawing the line. So it may not be the rocket that landed in the green zone, because that's still kind of like a proxy of Iran, and you don't want to necessarily start a full conflict over a proxy that may have been acting without complete direction, though I doubt that with Iran, that you could shoot at the U.S. embassy without direction from Iran. What happened with the boats? We're putting in place everything necessary, including the troops and the boats and ships that can deliver warships that can deliver troops to Iran. But I feel like behind the scenes, these briefings are beginning to kind of explain to Congress the thinking of what would it be that triggered a U.S. response that is pretty tough to do a small response when you're dealing with Iran.
Yeah, I agree with that, Jordan. I think the administration, specifically the National Security Team, is laying the groundwork to disclose to Congress in a classified setting the nature of the threat. And I think you're right. I think there are multiple layers to that threat. Congress is going to get sort of the full picture of it tomorrow in a classified setting. I think it really ties into the conversation you just had with Skip, though, Jordan, because, look, Iran is a threat. Now, that's not to say the United States can't put down that threat, because we can. We can, and under this president, I believe that we would. But, you know, this is not some small developing nation. This is Iran, and this is a regime that has been given greater standing by terms of the JCPOA, the Iran deal, and so it has to be treated seriously. I think, you know, the White House and the administration can handle things domestically and internationally, but Jordan, just from my perspective, this is a threat that you can't look the other way on. I'm glad they're coming up to Capitol Hill to kind of give on a bipartisan basis a sharing of some of this intelligence, so that if the next step is necessary, those members of Congress, Jordan, they're going to know already in advance the nature of this threat.
All right, folks, we come back. We continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, if you call in today and make it on the show, you will get the audiobook of Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadist Share for Conquering the World. First time we've offered that audiobook for you. So again, if you make it on the air today, talking about this Iranian issue, there's so much to say. Also, a peace deal developing, the U.S. Will attempt to broker between Palestinians and Israelis. That's getting some support. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Skip Ash joining us today in a minute. We'll also get to some of the peace deal that is coming together, be proposed from the White House. Jared Kushner has been working on that between Israelis and Palestinians. That is getting a lot more support than I think initially thought. A lot of people thought this would just have no chance at a time after we move our embassy, recognize Jerusalem as the capital, the Golan Heights, etc. But there's also been a lot of economic pressure on the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. And though they always like to say, we refuse to talk, ultimately people break and they begin to talk. Right now we're focusing in on this latest provocation by an Iranian-backed group firing a rocket into the U.S. Green Zone in Baghdad that landed just a mile away from the U.S. embassy. Let's go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Patricia in Colorado on line 3. Patricia, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. I guess my question my comment is, do they still think that they're dealing with... I'm hearing an echo here.
You can go ahead and keep talking.
Okay. Do they still think they're dealing with Obama? And when the Iranians with their little fast boats took over one of ours, and Obama just sat there and let them do it, and let them humiliate our Navy,
yeah.
I don't think Trump's going to do that.
No, I do not either. I think that Iran still thinks they're dealing with this Obama style of military engagement. We know the rules of engagement have been changed. Skip, President Trump is never going to allow that to happen again, where we had those 15 soldiers who were captured by Iran almost for, I think it was for 15 hours. They're paraded around, videotaped, you know, shown as propaganda. That is not going to happen under the Trump presidency.
No, it's not. And what we need to keep in mind, if you'll recall, between the Carter and Reagan administrations, President Carter allowed our embassy to be taken, our diplomats to be held hostage. But the very day that Reagan took office, because he had said he would take action, those diplomats were released. We have a change again. Obama to Trump is exactly the same thing. We had a very weak president who wanted a deal with Iran at any cost, and he gave everything to the Iranians, so they had a great victory. And then we have a new president who says, that's not going to stand. We're going to take action. That's not in our interest or the interest of the world. So I think they know that, which is why I think, although they rattle their sabers, they're attacking more indirectly through proxies. But even that, at some point, is going to come back and bite them because the president will only tolerate that so long.
That's right. Let me go to Thad Bennett. Thad, I mean, a lot of calls on this. People have a lot to say. Anytime we have a potential conflict between the U.S. and a nation like Iran. Washington, do you think that these behind-the-scenes meetings and briefings are being done to gather support from Congress, if necessary?
I do, Jordan, and I think they're being done, you know, sort of preemptively to lay the groundwork for this reason. Congress was not very good on this the first time around. And again, I know I sound like a broken record here, but Congress went out of its way to pass the Iranian Review Act, which actually abdicated its ability to vote on the Iran deal. So it was authorized without being ratified as a treaty would have been ratified. Jordan, I think this administration rightly understands that it will need to do a lot of educating, a lot of groundwork in Congress to make sure that if action is taken, it has the support on a bipartisan basis from Congress, which eventually a conflict would need. Probably not initially, but eventually it would need. Jordan, I would just also add on to the conversation you just had with Patricia. You've been saying that this regime is not logical. That's certainly correct. I think she touches on a second component of this, though. I do think they have gotten conditioned to getting a response from the United States that will not be followed through on. I think they're still operating under that framework of the JCPOA, play. And I think we have a very different framework with this president. I think they ought to tread very lightly, Jordan. Otherwise, they're going to see just how miscalculated they are on this. So they can be as illogical as they want, but they better understand that the resolve of the United States is stronger than it was a few years ago.
All right, here we go. Right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Joe is calling from Alaska on line 4. Joe, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks, proud of what you guys do. My take on it is I'm kind of curious what the average person in Iran would feel about this, whether they're like, you know, they would love to have, you know, the government change there and be done with this problem. I'm interested what you guys think about that.
I think that the people of Iran would love to be liberated from the Ayatollah and from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. I think they'd like that to be done without having to suffer the casualties that would come through a full-scale military engagement between the countries of Iran, the Islamic Republic, and the United States. But Skip, probably ultimately, if they see no other path, if it's gone on as long as it has, they may very, very much welcome some U.S. engagement to help topple this regime.
I think that's right. Remember, as we have looked at the history and we've looked at the people of Iran, right now they are very upset by the collapsing economy because of the sanctions, and the sanctions are there because of their own government failing to cooperate and failing to conform its activities to what the world feels is legitimate. And secondarily, they're spending what money they do have. The government is spending what money it does have on terrorist activities, supporting Hamas, Hezbollah, and others, and not supporting their own people. So I think there is unrest, fundamentally unrest within Iran. And if you get to a certain point, if the United States were to speak and to act affirmatively and in support of them, it could very well lead to an uprising.
You know, I mean, I think, and these uprisings, again, that would be the best way possible. Get rid of, you know, the leadership is basically on the run, and the people take over. And I think you'd see a very different Iran very quickly, and Iran the U.S. could work with. How great would that be for the world to have yet another ally in that region? And I think most of the people in Iran would like to be allied with the U.S. They don't want to be allied with Russia. They don't want to be isolated from the world. They don't want to be treated like North Korea. Nor do they want to run prison systems like North Korea or have the kind of strife on the streets. I think they want more religious freedom to practice their faiths the way they see fit, and instead of being forced to practice one way by the Ayatollah and these secret religious police that roam the country. So, again, I think there is so much to talk about here. Let me try to grab Alan's call in Utah. Alan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is, how are the Russians reacting to this? Because weren't they supporting Iran with weapons?
There's always the threat that Russia will install some of their missile defense systems. The question is, you remember they were backing the Assad regime, but every time when we fired the Assad regime, we told the Russians and the Russians ran out. So the Russians will kind of help you, but they're not usually putting themselves in harm's way. You know what I mean, Alan? And honestly, while Russia will utilize Iran as much as possible, if it's no longer beneficial for the Russians, they're not going to help save some somewhat crazy Ayatollah that is a lot closer to them than he is to us, you know, geographically. And so when it comes to the mindset of Iran, because of that illogical leadership that you can't kind of track at all, I don't think that the Russians will only be there when it benefits them. When it stops benefiting them, Russians leave. That's why they're not good allies to have. They're not real allies. Not like the United States. We stick with you. The Russians utilize you until you're no longer necessary or no longer helpful. We come back, second half hour coming up. Remember, if you call in, make it on the show, get the audio book, Unholy Alliance. Talks about Iran, Russia, jihadists share the goal they share for conquering the world. We'll be right back, second half hour, Jay Sekulow Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
From Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
New details about a rocket fire near the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad inside the heavily fortified Green Zone.
The rocket was fired just days after the State Department ordered a partial evacuation of the embassy and consulate in Erbil of non-essential staff.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Second half hour coming up. Later in the broadcast, we are going to get into this peace plan being offered. We may have to spend some time tomorrow on it as well, because there's a lot of interest in what is happening with Iran. And listen, we're not just bringing this up to bring it up. There was another incident, yes, last night in Iraq, where a Hezbollah-backed group, a Shia, they know exactly where the rocket's fired from. They know it's a Shia neighborhood. They know Hezbollah's activated there. And so it's a rocket, and it gets fired inside the green zone that surrounds the U.S. Embassy and our assets in Baghdad. And it lands a mile away from the U.S. Embassy. So it all makes sense about why these non-essential staff was sent out of Iraq from the U.S. State Department. That starts to make sense. And the threat that Iran's posed, this provocation by Iran. And I think what they don't realize is they're not dealing with President Obama anymore. So you keep provoking. You keep provoking. You attack oil ships. You attack used drones from Houthi rebels, which is also Iranian-backed, to attack oil lines in the desert using drones, military drones. You attack the vessels, your rhetoric goes up, but yet you're kind of forgetting, Iran, what you've got sitting in your backyard, which is the USS Abraham Lincoln entire strike team and more vessels on the way. B-52 bombers, Patriot missile systems, not a Patriot missile system, but systems being put in place, and not a lot of friends. Let's be honest with Iran. It's not like the Gulf states are their friends. They do not have a lot of friends in the world. They don't have a lot of real allies in the world. And they don't have their people to rely on either. They have the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and the religious leadership in Iran. So they have the political class, which is hand-selected by the religious leadership, and the small part of their military, which actually is well-funded and would be responsible in any kind of conflict, really, with the U.S. I think most of their military would walk right off. Skip, walk back through that again, that idea that if it did get into this conflict zone, you really believe that the conflict is between the U.S. and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, which has now been classified as a terrorist organization, and that the uniform Iranian military, unrelated to the Revolutionary Guard, would not have to, if we could make it clear to them, would not have to get into a conflict with the U.S. and in fact could help rebuild Iran.
Yeah, I think what we need to look at, this is very similar to what Hitler had to do. He had to have a regular army, but then he had his own SS and groups like that to keep the regime in power. The same thing has happened in Iran. It's the Revolutionary Guards which are the ones who keep the regime in power. The army is a force. The regular army is a force that's made up of draftees, many of whom are apolitical. They're not interested in this. They want to do their time, get out. The typical thing like that. If we were to go in a way and make it clear to the army that we were not going to be going after them unless they responded to us, and we were going after the powers that be, there's a very high likelihood, in my view, and I've read it among others, who think that the army might sit the war out, in fact, might even side with us against the regime so that the regime would be tossed out and they would have an opportunity to put in a government that's more supported by the people.
Let's go to Nancy in New York on line 5. You've been holding on, Nancy, before we get to this next break. You're on the air.
Sure. I just hope that the American people wake up, because what's happening in this country and around the world just didn't happen in 2 or 3 years. It's been methodically implemented in the past 60 years.
Yes.
And for us to just back down on Iran, as the past administrations have done, just shows how weak we are.
What happened was, Nancy, is that the JCPOA, the Iranian nuclear deal, just made it that much worse. It accelerated, actually, probably the path to conflict, unfortunately, or potential conflict. We come back, a lot to talk about, including a peace deal offer. It's kind of nice right there to even be discussing that between the Palestinians and the Israelis, and that there's even a shot at it. So we'll talk about that as well. We'll continue to take your calls on Iran. You'll get the audio book, Unholy Alliance, if you make it on the show today. So keep calling 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're going to bring in a couple more experts into the discussion. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live. Check out ACLJ.org. A lot of issues going on around the country and the world we don't even get to on the broadcast.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We'll get right back to Iran in just a minute. I know your phone calls are focused in on that, and there's a lot to say, a lot of questions to ask, especially with this latest provocation. You know, Iran firing through Hezbollah in eastern Baghdad, so we know it's a Shia hotbed. A rocket into our Green Zone embassy area in Baghdad that landed a mile away from the U.S. embassy. I mean, these are not accidents. What happened with the oil vessels? Not accidents. What happened with the drone attacks on the oil lines in the Saudi desert? Not accidents. All relating back to Iran and its proxies. How long Iran gets away with letting its proxies do things and kind of skirting direct responsibility is really the big question. At what point does the U.S. say, no, no, this is not really a proxy. You know, we could call it a proxy. That's enough. And you're directing it, and we're holding you responsible. And as the president said, if you want this fight, that will be the official end of Iran. What he means is the Islamic Republic of Iran, not all the Iranian people. I will get right back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110, but I want to bring in Andy and Harry as well, because there is a new peace plan being put forward now. It's just starting to be launched and let out piece by piece by the White House. Jared Kushner, who has been leading this plan for the White House, had this to say. Take a listen, bite 10.
The big divide now is you have leaders that are trying to empower their people and create more opportunity for them to have a better life. And then you have leaders that are trying to repress their people and often using religion and other excuses as a reason to try and hold their people down. And so when we looked at the Palestinians, we said, well, what are the opportunities that they can have? What's been holding them back economically? And obviously you have the core issues, because you need to resolve the core issues to be able to move forward. But what we started doing is building an economic vision for how do you take that region and push it forward in a more substantial way.
So there you go. You've been researching this plan, both Harry and Wes, Harry and Andy. What do you think of it initially?
Well, I think the plan is off to a good start, and I think it's important to issue a cautionary note in the sense that the Peace to Prosperity plan is only being slowly unveiled with a full rollout in June. But certainly the pieces of the peace plan that have been revealed suggest that there are some promising elements in the plan itself. And it's also important to then take a step back and to look at the Palestinian economy, which is virtually cratering at the moment. So we should note that the economic development that is a component of the Peace to Prosperity plan is desperately needed by the Palestinian people. Real gross domestic product in 2018 was barely positive in the Palestinian economy due to a steep deterioration in Gaza and a slowdown in the West Bank. Some of this reflects the impact of U.S. sanctions, which are designed to deter terrorism in the region. And also they are a result of U.S. policy, which basically says we will no longer give money to the Palestinian Authority when and if they use those funds to attack Israelis and Americans. So the Palestinian people have been the real losers in the Palestinian Authority's campaign really against Israel. And Gaza has been led by a terrorist organization for years. So I think focusing on economic development with America's partners in the Middle East is a positive step in the right direction.
And Andy, this idea, again, it's kind of like, yeah, the U.S. can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can deal with Iran and then deal with this other Middle Eastern issue and move forward on both.
That's right. And they're not mutually exclusive, Jordan. We can continue to monitor what the Iranians are doing through their proxies and through their organizations that they support and that the terrorist groups that they give their assistance and aid to, while at the same time trying to do something for the Middle Eastern economy and to help the Palestinians. The question really is not, do we want to help the Palestinian people? Of course we do. And whether the Peace to Prosperity program that is Jared Kushner is pushing and monitoring is going to be a success really depends upon the Palestinian leadership. Are they going to recant their previous hostility that they have shown throughout these processes with respect to Israel, with respect to others who've tried to help them, so as to help their people? That's really what this is all about. If they embrace the Peace to Prosperity plan, it does present an ambitious and achievable vision of prosperous future for the Palestinian people. It'll enhance their economic growth, which is, my colleague Harry Hutchison has pointed out, is cratering, if not has cratered. The governance, the development of human capital, private sector growth, things like that, that's going to radically transform the lives of the people in that region and put them on a path to a brighter future. But it's not going to depend solely on the Palestinian people. I think they want it. It's going to depend upon their leadership and whether they are going to embrace it.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Kushner said that. I mean, this is a test for the Arab world, for the Muslim world, but specifically the Arab world. Take a listen by 15.
What we want to do is put something out that we think is based on logic, where unquestionably we can say that this will lead to the Palestinian people living a much better life. And we hope that people will act rationally. And I do think that it'll be a test for the Arab countries and it'll be a test for the international community. Are they going to be stuck in reflexive positions that don't make sense and that have not created peace? Or are they going to look at this for what it is, study it and say, this makes sense. Why don't you try to engage with it? If you have, you know, problems with these details, you know, why don't you go sit down with them, try to change it? But I do think this is a problem that deserves to be solved, and I am hopeful that, you know, the leadership from both sides will sit together and try to, you know, figure out based on the framework we provide how they can move forward.
Always the key in the Middle East, I think the two phrases he used, logic. Can logic prevail? Which is always a big question in the Middle East. I mean, it really is. because like we talk about with Iran, there is no logic there that we can fully grasp. You know, our brains are just wired a very different way in the Western world to fully grasp the way 12er Shia Islam leaders who have massive militaries that are loyal to them, like the Revolutionary Guard, their logic and rationality are, even if whatever their version of it is the opposite of ours. And then makes sense, you know, things that make sense that would be easy for others to say, well, yeah, this is a good deal. It makes sense. That is not always so easy in the Middle East to get to either of those. Logic and makes sense. Even if it does make sense for the people, is there something behind it? Then again, the logic gets thrown off. I mean, that's why I just want to point out those words, because I think they're used by Jared Kushner for a reason. This is an opportunity for the Middle East and the actors in the region to use logic and to take actions that make sense. Or are they going to show us, as they have before in the past, that there is no logic when dealing with the Middle East, and it's futile to even try, and that they don't take deals that make sense, that will make things better for their people. I want to take this comment in and ask Skip about it. Going back to Iran now, John Carter wrote it on Facebook, Skip. Do you think that Iran will back down after hearing the president's words? It appears like they play right into it and tried to turn his words into the president trying to cause a genocide against Iran.
Well, you know, whenever you deal with this type of thing, there's going to be a rhetorical pushback. So they're going to say a lot of things. They have their own audience to appeal to, and they have to make sure that they appear to be strong and they're not being manipulated by the United States. But at the same time, you can have strong words and not take strong actions. And I think we're going to hear strong words. We're going to hear some pushback or feel some pushback through some proxies. But the danger here is that they overreact or they do something that triggers our response. So both sides need to be looking at this calmly and rationally. And as you said, it's not always clear what rational means on the other side.
All right, folks, when we come back from this break, we're going to take all your calls. A lot of calls coming right now, mostly on Iran, so we're going to get to that. Before we get to this next break, as we kind of are briefly touching this, is there anything else we need to be looking at on this peace deal, Andy?
No, I think we need to be looking at it with anticipation. Hopefully our other allies in the Middle East are going to support us in this. They haven't formally come out yet, but I suspect that we're going to get the support, Jordan, of the Saudis, of the Jordanians, of the Egyptians, of the Gulf states and so forth, and that it will be a united Arab effort to move in the right direction. The question, again, I keep coming back to is whether it's going to succeed in the state of Israel area, the Palestinian area and the territories, is going to depend upon those leaders of the Palestinians. The Israelis are definitely going to support it. Will the Palestinian leadership really want to help their people? That is the big question. And the question, as you pointed, does logic prevail? Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes in the Middle East. And probably not often, just sometimes. We come back. We take your phone calls. I mean, we have a full bank of calls. We'll keep those open, so keep calling. If you make it on the air, you'll get the audio book, Unholy Alliance. First time we've offered the audio book, so you can, again, listen to it in your car at home. And, again, I know a lot of people like taking in books that way, so we want to offer it to you as we're talking about Iran back in the news yet again. You know, we told you when they're back in the news, and this escalation continues, we're going to keep coming back to it so that you stay educated along this path to hopefully not conflict, but some kind of resolution. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
All right, we have a lot of phone calls to take. So we're going to go right in order of calls as people that hold on. Let's go first to Roger in Oregon on line one. Roger, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Jordan, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Roger.
When I heard about this, I thought of it more as a chess game where you've got two opponents, one by probing, testing the opponent by making a move, looking for weaknesses, and you've got the observers in the audience, observers like Russia, China, North Korea, just watching to see what the United States does to a provocation like this. They observe what the U.S. does, and the U.S. has responded very quickly by sending the Abraham Lincoln carrier group to the area. So it's a very swift response. They know exactly what the United States would do. It's not just bogged down in a bunch of talking points before something happens. It's very, very quick. So the speed was there. But I look at this as, okay, so we've made this move. We fired the rocket. We see the response. But I think it feeds into a larger framework, a larger strategy that the Iranians have, and perhaps even Russia, China, North Korea, where, okay, so they've done this, there's a response, and it might be additional probes that they come up, a little probe here, a little probe there, see what the responses are, and I think it helps them then define what their responses are going to be in the future. So
to a point, that may be true. But when one of those little probes ends up killing an American or taking down a smaller U.S. vessel or taking down an oil ship, when one of those probes causes potentially the loss of life or severe casualties because it goes a little too far or the rocket went a little too far and hit the embassy, I think that that's where, first of all, Iran could try, and Russia could try all they want to try and game out a U.S. response to aggression. Let's just be honest. I mean, we have so many options at our table that I don't even think it would take a long time to put out just for the military how many options you could have in take in destroying Tehran. We've got have hundreds of options of taking Tehran down in a day.
Yeah, I don't think they should test the United States right now, Jordan. I mean, I think they do it to their own demise. But here's what I would say to Roger. I think his point is exactly spot on when it comes to how do we have the intelligence needed to win that chess game. That's where the relationship with Israel is so important, Jordan. I mean, why were we able to get personnel out of Iraq before this attack happened? It was because we got information from our closest ally in the region. So all of these issues tie together. It is a chess game, but Iran has severely miscalculated. If they think that U.S. will just keep backing down in the face of provocation, if they even accidentally harm or kill a U.S. service member or a significant interest in the region, Jordan, I would say at this point they really need to look out.
All right, back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. Everybody's getting an audiobook. Who makes it on the air? So let's try to get everybody who's on right now on. So very quickly, Helen in Pennsylvania on line six. Helen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you very much, and I've admired the work of the ACLJ for many, many years.
Yep.
Similar to what Roger had to say there, my concern is as Iran is poking the dog over here, Russia is doing their thing, and then Korea and China, and if, and I pray that we don't get into a war with Iran, that this works itself out, but the other places are going to jump in and take advantage of this in some way or another, and that's my concern.
Sure. I mean, I think, listen, remember, Russia does not could not handle a conflict with the U.S. China cares more about money, and North Korea can't feed its own people. So, I mean, be clear about who you're dealing. Yes, these are some of the bad actors of the world. Russia's the worst ally to have. So, I mean, you know, if the North Koreans needed Russia, they're going to choose Russia first. They're not going to go, like, suffer any loss for North Korea. China, same thing. I mean, you know, when we captured that coal ship, that I'm not sure if the Chinese came right in. And really, they just try to appease North Korea to stop messing with them. So these are not really natural friends or allies, and they never have been in history. They are provocateur countries. Certainly Russia, North Korea to some extent. But I think we're a big enough, strong enough country that if we have to get into a conflict, you don't let Russia, North Korea, or China scare you away from it. Because the truth is, they aren't real fighters. I mean, so far, that's what they've proven in modern day, is that the North Koreans like to provoke. The Russians will kind of fight within their region in battles they know they can already win. But, you know, they're within their kind of geographic location. And the Chinese, it's about money. It's about trade and tariffs. It's not about starting military conflict. So that's where I am there. I get everybody's concerned. Listen, the president doesn't want this to happen. But we told you on the broadcast, if as long as this continues to escalate, we believe there's been another escalation, we are going to talk to you about it because we want you updated as possible. If the final choice has to be made for anything to happen, you were very educated on why it happened. You knew that you understood what was happening in this buildup that we hope is then handled diplomatically, but you never know. Let's go to Tim in Colorado, line 4. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello. My question on the Iran issue relates to the comment you made earlier about the intelligence briefing that's going to be given to Congress. And I heard on the television where members of Congress and people were saying, well, wait a minute, Congress needs to authorize action and so on in this area, military actions. So my question sort of twofold. One, can you speak briefly to the constitutional role of Congress and the president in war or conflict? How does it fit in with this scenario?
Quickly, Than, the real key here is there's an authorization for use of military force that's already been authorized by Congress. That has been used in all these conflicts, like with ISIS in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan. The debate would be, is it authorized conflict with Iran? And there's many who say it does.
Yeah, an existing authorization for the use of military force. And even in the absence of that, Jordan, for a short period of time, the president certainly has the ability to respond to threats. If there were a new authorization needed, I don't think in this case there would be. Let's not get too far down that road at this point. But even if there were a new one, there is some time for the president to go to Congress to seek that. That certainly may be a conflict. What tomorrow is about is sharing the classified information with members of Congress so that they are not surprised if one of these happens. Remember, the administration had this information, and then the attack was carried out. This is the administration going to Congress to share some of the additional intel that happens so that if Iran carries through on those threats, members of Congress won't be surprised.
Oh, we could get into this a long time. I want to try to take these final two calls. Raj of Virginia, line 2, very quickly, you're on the air.
Thank you. The president has clearly stated that getting a nuclear capability and all that they have been doing needs to stop. And one of the key collaborators has been Pakistan.
Sure, selling off. Raj, I'm only cutting you off so we get the final call. That was the final call. But Raj, selling off illegally. And they've been known to do that before in the past. I don't know if Pakistan's been caught doing that again. But certainly in the past, selling off nuclear capabilities to places like North Korea and Iran. The entire goal here of these broadcasts is to keep you educated, because when we start seeing a pattern, you know, the U.S. sending its diplomats out of Iraq, and then an attack on the Green Zone last night by Hezbollah, which is a proxy for Iran. They don't act if Iran doesn't say to do so. So shooting at the U.S. embassy was ordered by Iran last night. The president then responding that he would destroy Iran as they know it. I mean, we're going to keep you updated as it escalates, because we want you prepared if there is a conflict to understand what led to it, so you don't just wake up and see it one day on the air. Check out ACLJ.org. We'll be back tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.